First class trip across the Atlantic. Make sure you put them laces out. I've been out and about, and I'm loud, cause I found another sound. And I'll pound on the ground for my guys across the pond. Kick is matter, that's the song. Trust me when that word is blown. Y'all can clap, clap, sing along. But on a wheel, they got some real deal analysis. Take the wheel, I think I feel like a catalyst. For this build, you know your boy is never out of it. Matter of fact, I think I'll go and win a championship. KMWO, KMWO, man, you know how this go, yeah. KMWO, kick is matter, world order, man, y'all already know, let's go.
Welcome along, everyone. Unfortunately, we don't have our fearless leader, Jack, here tonight. He's somewhere.
He's probably drinking beer. He's probably having a beer somewhere.
Just gone missing.
Relaxing.
He's gone missing, but he's got a lot on at the minute, so appreciate that. But I'm Tim, and obviously we've got a couple of other co-hosts here. So we'll start with Rich. How you doing, buddy?
Who the fuck is that guy? Conor McGregor again. Sorry, I had to.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty good. Been busy time, season start coming, you know, it's rolling around. It's like this lack of pre-season's really messing with my head because I keep thinking it's like some distant time in the future, but it's literally like 2 weeks away.
I know, it's scary, isn't it?
It's mad.
It has totally crept up.
Now, have you got any good stories?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple, but they're not really.
Harking back to your rugby days.
Yeah.
How are you doing, bud?
I'm all right, mate. Who are you talking to?
Mr. Happy.
For me. I'm all right. I'm very happy after receiving a nice little present from you today, Tim.
You're welcome, mate.
I'm not going to tell anyone else what it is, just so they can only wonder what it is, because there might be some kind of innuendo in there.
There's tons of innuendo when it comes to me, to be fair.
Exactly.
I will just go as far as saying, what a beautiful helmet.
Shiny.
Yeah, shiny, beautiful helmet.
Is it big and black?
Purple.
It kind of is big and black.
Unfortunately, when it comes to me, nothing is big or black. So,
but apart from that, yeah, no, I'm good, mate. I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good, mate. I'm really good. I'm a bottle of wine deep, and I've been looking after one of the kids while the other kid hasn't been well. And went to my mum's, and my mum is as big a drinker as me, if not worse. So, had a couple of drinks with her, put the baby to bed, and got ready for this. So. Yeah, I am ready.
So I'm really confused. So when you say you're looking after one of the kids, is the other one just left to be feral? Or
No, the missus was with her because she wasn't well. So
okay.
Fuck that shit. I'm going to get my mum's. That's I will take one child to go and do this.
Yeah.
Well, my little one, literally, as I was scrambling my dinner in my mouth before we started this, started screaming, crying, and it was just a quick look over from me to Rach, like, I've caught a pod. I'm sorry.
Well, I can't deal with it. Can we just have a moment? Well played, Jamie.
In fairness, she's amazing.
That was at 5:30 when we weren't anywhere near starting the pod. we were going to do the news, but we decided to say fuck the news.
Fuck the news. Nobody cares. You want to listen to the news, go and listen to another podcast. They'll tell you all this. Someone's doing great in training camp. You don't need us to tell you again for the 40th time.
Yeah.
Thing Fair? Is, so all these training camp stories as well, you just need to mute. Because the thing is, everyone looks good in training camp. Every team is going to be making the playoffs. Like, it's just coach speak. That's just...
Frank Gore is the new Saquon Barkley.
I mean, that's true, though.
The only thing I'll say about training camp and what all these things are coming out, just don't pay any attention to positives. When a coach says something negative about a player, then you got to worry.
Yeah, but that's you and your negative mindset.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. What are you coming at me like that for?
Because Matt Ryan looked great yesterday. Why are you not happy?
Did he? I've no idea.
Probably. It's an even year, isn't it?
He's going to look amazing. So, yeah, screw the news.
Screw the news. So, we're going to get stuck into DFS. Obviously, now we're a dynasty in the DFS pod. That's where we want to focus. And this week's going to be DFS, talking about players we like for the season. Also, you know, we've only got values based on the first week or first couple of weeks. So, it's people we like starting off into the season. And we're just going to kick off into who we like, maybe some people we don't like, the value and reasons why week one, why we think they're going to be a hit. So,
and this will roll into next week when we do our DFS pod at the end of the week. So where we, if you've never listened to the DFS pod before, we basically, it was three of us. Now it's going to be four of us doing basically picking our team each week and explaining why. And we have a little kind of a league table on DraftKings every single week that will go through to the final end of the season. So basically, it's like a mini season long DFS for the KM pod hosts. So
yeah, let's just take a moment before we get too far into it. If you haven't signed up to Jamie's league, the season long DFS, he's too nice to say it, but you guys, you need to sort that out and actually just get signed up, because
I didn't catch that.
I'll tell you what, Siri. That's the place to be. It's going to be a fantastic competition. I'm buzzing for it. I filled some lineups for someone who was had to go overseas, and every week I was kind of like, I really wish I was part of this at the start of the season. So as soon as Jamie mentioned it, I must have been the first sign up, right?
You were, because you were the first one. You were the man who put the Google.
I did. But I must have been one of the first people who sent the money in as well. Like I was pumped for it. Like I'm so excited for this.
Mate, that's cheating. That's like the first person at the front of the next sale being an employee who's just got the key to the front door. Like that's not saying you're overexcited. That's you've got access.
Yeah, mate. But I sent the money first, didn't I? Yeah. Not all of us are tight scousers.
I don't know if you did.
Sorry, I stole your money and put it in first.
Anyway, but sign up for Jamie's League. Like, it's going to be a lot of fun. So,
I'll plug the Twitter handle. It's at season long DFS. I think I can't even remember it.
It sounds right.
It sounds right. I'm now panicking. That I've made a horrible, horrible mistake. Now I'm trying to find Twitter on my phone.
It was a great league last year, King. You were missed, even though you did some lineups for someone. And there was also a good bit of banter throughout the season with it as well.
I assume you weren't part of that banter, right?
No, I stay out of that. You know.
Yeah, that's why it was good then. Yeah,
I'm not a rugby lad, so.
Just quickly, it is at season long DFS, all one long word, and the website is www.seasonlongdfs.com. So just go and sign up. I'll explain it. It's £25 for the whole year. You play weekly competitions with tournaments on DraftKings, which are set up in a private league. They are $1 to enter each. Winner take all. So if you're in one of the competitions, and there'll probably be two going for the amount of people, maybe three or four. So if you win that one little competition, you'll win, I don't know, like $20 or whatever it will be. And we do that every single week. And it's all tracked on a spreadsheet. So at the end of week 17. Yeah, we're going week 17. It goes batshit mental in week 17. The highest scoring cumulative total of all 17 weeks wins, basically. A nice big load of money, and all.
Rich? Not sure what happened then, guys.
So I'm just going to guess where I was. So yeah, message me at season on DFS.
Boring. So much of my laptop, it just decided.
I can't help it.
It was at the point where you were saying you've got
message
season long total, and then
Basically, get involved at season on DFS. Drop me a tweet. Drop me a Twitter DM, or you can message me on Twitter, which on my personal Twitter handle, which is Jamie_ByronKM. Just get involved. It's a great fun, and we're going to make this into a big community.
I've just come up with an idea separately as well, which I think we should do for charity. But we should have a weekly competition between the four of us on DFS.
We already do.
We do?
Not a charity one.
Oh, it's awkward.
I think the thing is, you stood up and walked away while I mentioned that.
All right, cool. I'm in. I'm
sure you got involved last year, was it?
No.
Yeah. No, I know what happened.
Did a competition with Ben, head to head?
Yeah, I know what happened. When Steve was involved, it was we did a three-way thing. There's still the league, there's still the kickers mat and post league on. I'll invite you boys on it actually, and we do a weekly thing, and the weekly teams are the exact same teams that we do and say on DFS pod.
Cool.
So once you've picked your team, you cannot bloody change it unless obviously injury.
So there we go. I've just found out that I'm getting invited to something I wasn't invited to, and that's lovely.
We haven't even really mentioned NFL. It's brilliant. We're what, like 15 minutes in?
Yeah, that's it. We weren't invited, Rich, but we are now. It's all good, mate.
I thought you boys are in it, if I'm brutally honest.
Man, Rich, I mean, to be fair, Tim, like, you seem like the type of guy who queues for the nightclub. I'm always straight in. Do you know what I mean? So I've barely been on this pod, and Jamie, straight away, yeah, I'll get you in, mate, not a problem. You've been here for a year, and like, finally, I'm just like, yeah, let my mate in. Come on.
King, the only nightclub you've never queued for is when you and your rugby mates went to Flares and just pissed on each other. That's the only time you've not queued.
Actually, no, the true story is we always used to go and walk about because you really have to go that extra mile to get kicked out there. I'm not saying
that
I've never...
rugby balls in there as well, so that makes sense.
I mean, I have been kicked out of walkabout, but that's a separate story. But yeah, you really have to go that extra mile.
What's your DraftKings username?
Hey.
DVDALDO.
DALDO. Okay, right. I've invited both of you.
Oh, lovely. Thanks, mate.
Into the Kickers Matt Host League, and you'll notice there's five of us. We're never removing Steve.
No, that makes sense.
Ever.
So, moving swiftly on before we get involved in Kingy's, I've been kicked out of walkabout story, and then I get involved in stories about why I've been kicked out of bars, is straight to DFS, QBs, who do we like week one, who do we like generally? My first one I want to bring up is Josh Allen. We are Josh Allen fans on here.
And, massive fans.
Yeah, massive fans. And we love his rushing ability. There was something that came out this week that he's aiming to throw it more. He's not trying to rush as much, but he's still got that ability.
Don't believe it.
Yeah. And he's 6,500, which is a decent amount for a QB. It's a lot less than Lamar, with the potential of doing, what, three quarters of the amount of rushing and more throws than Lamar. I think that's fair. And he's up against the Jets week one. So he's mine. I just wanted to chuck out there straight away. Is he someone you're buying, or is he somebody you're leaving well alone and moving on to other people?
I don't mind him. He's what? Let's have a look. 3, 4, 5. He's the sixth most expensive QB on the week one slate. He's just a little bit above Kyler Murray and a little bit behind Tom Brady. I don't know why Tom Brady's 6'5". I don't care if about anything. He's playing against New Orleans and their defense is stout.
We all like
Josh Allen. More specifically for his rushing. I don't think he's going to rush probably as much as last year, but he's not a designed runner like Lamar.
Yeah.
It's his running is, oh shit, people are coming at me, I've got to go somewhere. It's not like Lamar Jackson having like 150 designed plays specifically for him to run.
Just on that, do you think it's more, you know, when Dak came through, it was more, right, okay, let's try and design an offense that suits Dak because he's completely different to Romo. He's got that O-line. The O-line's decent in Buffalo. So is it a case of they do loads of RPO based on what's coming at them? Because that's what I saw a lot last year. Like, there'd be occasions where he'd turn around, look up, and he'd go, right, okay, I'm shifting here because I can shift and I'm big enough to run through some people without getting hurt, similar to Dak. That's what I see him as.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that there'll be a lot of RPOs with regards to him, and they should be with most running quarterbacks. But then again, you look at other teams, like you see San Francisco, they do, I think, someone's probably going to call me out on this, but for some reason, I think they do a fair few, because it's Shanahan, it's what he does. He confuses everything. But I think you're right in saying about Josh Allen and Buffalo and them doing a fair few of them. I think it would be silly for them to potentially change things. I don't think they changed a single thing from last year. I think they're going to improve from last year. Yes, they've got Diggs. He looked... Did I see something in something pop up on my screen a couple of days ago, how he went like in 11 on 11s or something... Went ridiculously great, 2 passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and like 31 for 38 or something stupid like that, that made me kind of go, oh, hello.
Diggs is getting slapped on there. Everyone's thinking that, you know, Allen's not an accurate QB, but Diggs is getting slapped on. I mean, everyone knows I'm a big Diggs fan, and we could get stuck into that, but I really like Buffalo this year. I really do. I think they're my tip to win that division, to be honest.
I had Buffalo last year to win the Super Bowl. I mean, didn't have a bet on it, but I said
all,
it on the
We're not all year. Stupid, but...
Exactly. Rich, what are you thinking week one, as in QB-wise? Is there anyone that kind of stands out for you who you think's got a great matchup or you hate, really, mate? You can hate anyone. Go for it.
I mean, for me, week one's always such an interesting slate because the prices are set weeks before it starts.
Mm.
So, you see some weird things on here. So, even, like, Jameis Winston costs the same as Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you see weird things like that. I think, for me, the guy I'm probably going to have in my lineups is probably Carson Wentz. Which it's just like it's an easy matchup against the Washington football team.
They were good. They were a lot better defensively back end of last season. I'll say that. That's all I remember about them. They were a lot better than they were.
Yeah, but like, if I say to you, do you want me to kick you in the nads or the shin? Like, it's you're still getting kicked.
Shin.
Yeah, it's just so. For me, I'm gonna go.
Don't get analogies anywhere else apart from here like that.
Shin. Every time, shin.
Cam Newton as well. You know, with the Patriots playing Miami. Miami have always been a bogey team for the Patriots. It seems, but you have to remember they're mainly a bogey team at the end of the season for them. So I think Cam's going to be wanting to make a splash day one. And this is a guy who was already annoyed about the contract situation and how that was dealt with Carolina. So I think we could see something a little bit special from him.
Interesting. I'll be honest. I was looking at Cam going, I don't want it. I'm not sure I want any piece of him in week one because I've no idea what his shoulders look like. If he's, do you know what I mean? 100%, 100%, how he, old Cam with, who's he throwing to? Yeah, Edelman, White, Mosen. It's not bad, but I wonder if he might, where you say he's going to come out there with a kind of I'm going to go nuts attitude, is it going to be too emotional? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, the last guy I'd probably throw out there is Philip Rivers, who goes against probably the worst team in the NFL now with Jacksonville. I mean, if you're a Jacksonville fan, I'd say bring your cleats because you might get on the field. But yeah, there's no fans, which I think they're pretty used to that anyway. So that's the last guy that I particularly like.
Well, for me, it was Rivers. Rivers was one of my top guys I'm going to play. He's now got the best, if not one of the best offensive lines in front of him. He's going to have more time. Naheem Hines, he's probably going to love. Max, and then he's going to be a running game. Jonathan Taylor could be sprinkled in. You've got Paris Campbell, good reports. You've got some really shit other rookie. What's his name again?
I'm going to do this.
No.
He is definitely coming up in the wide receiver DFS chat, isn't he, Kingy? I know you've got him lined up because he's dirt cheap.
He is dirt cheap.
Michael Pittman, that is. And obviously, you might have a healthy TY. And also, you've got these tight ends where you've got Jack Doyle, who's safe as anything. And also, a report I saw said that Trey Burton potentially is going into what Ebron did. And some weeks you might get two touchdowns and 80 yards. So I think Rivers, I think he's got a good, as you said, great matchup against Jacksonville, who are trash. Other QBs I like, and he's $6,000. Another one is another cheapo, and that's Tyrod Taylor. He's $5,600. He's playing against the Bengals. Tyrod Taylor's going to be steady. You're going to get rushing yards from him. I'm leaning towards not thinking about how he was in Cleveland, more thinking about how he was in Buffalo. And I think at $5,600, you've got a good, what's the word I'm looking for? You've got a good good play on upside there with Taylor. I think kind of you'll get a safe-ish floor. You might get, 250 and two touchdowns, 50-odd yards rushing maybe. So for $5,600, I'll have him.
I'm trying to reduce my QB that much, and you guys are probably going to, laugh in the room for this. I'd rather pick...
Don't say it.
Trubisky or Foles.
Oh, God, he said it, Rich. He said it.
I'd rather pick any of those three than Tyrod.
Week one.
Yeah, because if...
Pick one. Pick one of them.
If Fitz gets the gig, week one, which it looks like he will, he's great week one.
Okay, I just want to jump in here quickly.
5,300.
All right. I will give you either the Chicago quarterbacks, so either one who starts, and Fitzpatrick. You've got to choose one of either option, and I'll take Tyrod Taylor, week one, who scores more DFS points.
Fitz.
For a beer bet.
Fitz, beer bet.
Rich, you want in on it?
No, I don't really want either of you to win.
All right, so, okay, Timbo, you take Fitzpatrick. I will take Tyrod Taylor week one.
Out your ass, Rich, and pick one.
I mean, I feel like we all lose in this situation.
Oh, the only person that wins is whoever is the quarterback who wins that. Like, neither me or Jamie actually win.
No.
What I mean is, I feel as though if we spoke about them for 30 seconds, that's 30 seconds too long.
And you're still dragging it out.
Yeah. The irony is not lost.
I know. So yeah, chuck that beer bet up. Just another two that I think have got interesting ones as well. Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson. They're both going up against each other. It's going to be a shootout. That's all I'm going to say. If you want to spend a little bit more, 6,700 and 7,000. Ryan and Wilson, I think they're both going to have big games.
Yeah, and because of that, I can't really touch either because San Francisco's defense was that good last year. I know Bosa's got a bit of a knock, so I don't know. I wouldn't lean week one on anyone playing either of those defenses, because I think Seattle's defense is actually here to play, and I quite like San Fran's, so I don't think that'll be a shootout.
No. Seattle are playing the Falcons. Arizona are playing San Francisco.
Oh no! It's Seattle versus
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. So when he said Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson, because they're playing in the same game.
Yeah, sorry. But you should have made that clear. I'm not touching.
In fairness, Tim is a bottle of wine in, so.
I did morph back into Seattle's defense. Just before you said that, I said Seattle's defense was here to play, so it was a Freudian slip about Bosa.
That's all right. We forgive you.
No, I think Seattle's defense is here to play, and
mate, I genuinely don't think many defenses are going to hold the Falcons to a low amount of points. There's going to be so much passing. Doesn't matter if the Falcons have 44 banged on against them. We'll try and score 30. And 30 points with Matt Ryan throwing the ball around is going to be a shed load for him.
Yeah. I like Matt Ryan this year. I just think for that QB price, there's better value.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sticking to the low 6,000s or Tyrod, basically, is for me. Playing it safe. Right, are we done on QBs? We want to move on to the running back position.
On to running backs. Jamie, take the floor.
Give me all of the Austin Eckler. All of it. I want every single piece of Austin Eckler. He's 7,000, so he's the third most expensive running back. CMC is 10,000. Wow. Dalvin Cook, 7,900. Then it's Eckler at 7. Someone tell me, convince me why Eckler against Cincinnati, who, yeah, let's be honest, they're not going to pull any trees up, are they? Eckler is 7,000. Yes, he's the third most expensive, but I'm probably going to have him on 75% of my teams.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Like, DraftKings is PPR.
Yeah.
So, like, just on the receptions, I think he's going to be pretty money. Yeah, I don't hate that at all. I quite like Eckler this week.
I'm just going to look at last. Okay, if we're thinking maybe the first week last year, there's a kind of, will he do the same? He started off the season with 39.4 points, 24.3, 15-1, 29-23. Then he only had 5, 28, 10, 13, 12, 24,
16, 37. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to sell me on his early start to the season. I had him in Scott Fishbowl last year. And I was just like, every single week, I was just like, oh, just stick him in. Let's see how that goes. Oh, yeah. Absolute money. Yeah, cheers.
That'll do nicely. I don't know. I haven't looked kind of hate-wise. I'll have a look if there's anyone that I really don't like. Tim, what about you, mate? Running back that you love in week one.
I do like Eckler week one, by the way. I do think there's going to be a focus on him, to be honest, especially with it being Tyrod. I do think there's going to be a focus on him, so I don't think he's going to be as productive early as that system grows and changes. My running back, who I really want to take, is James White at 6,000. It's not any shock to anyone who listens to this pod that I think James White is amazing.
I thought you were going to say Frank Gore. Really thought you were going to go Frank Gore there.
Absolutely not. Now, James White, I just think it's the right matchup. I think it's right week one. If Cam's not running it, he's dumping it off, and he's got the best target to do so. It's him or Edelman. I know Edelman might come up later on, but for 6,000, James White's your guy in PPR for me.
Rich, what about you, mate? Who's your main one?
Josh Jacobs is the guy I'm probably going to be putting in straight away.
I like that. Against Carolina.
6,800. I mean, yeah, he's gone against one of the worst defenses in the league in Carolina. We already know that the Raiders are going to be working the ball through the ground. I think just the sheer totals that he'll get on the ground will give him value. And, you know, there's been some early stories in camp, and I know we said don't listen to them, but Jacobs has been used more in passing drills and things. So I think it's a great shout, really.
I totally agree, mate. Tim, is there anyone kind of that you've, if you've had a quick browse through, that you don't particularly like?
Oh, people don't like, no. I think there's a lot of people high up the board who I'd particularly avoid. Obviously, you're going to pick your McCaffreys. He's a lock. I don't necessarily like Kamara week one against that Tampa defense that I think was actually really good last year and pulled out some good stats. Kingy's more of a stats guy than me. And I do like Mixon. There's rumours of a few injuries within that Chargers camp. But somebody who I do like at a lower price is Matt Breda. A big Breda fan. You know, we came up a lot on the pod last year. I think he's going to be used a lot in the passing game, where he's going to get Howard a lot of the rushing. He's going to get a lot of dump offs to Breda. I think they're going to have a lot of two back sets. And for 5,000, I think he's a decent lower end option. You know, everyone can pick a McCaffrey or something like that, but I think Breda's a really good option at the price.
What's his price?
5,000.
The thing with Breda, which kind of concerns me, is kind of what you said about you expecting him to be using the passing game. I don't expect him. I know Jordan Howard isn't either, but he wasn't exactly used a huge amount in the passing game in San Francisco.
They didn't pass the ball.
They did a lot of jet sweeps and they did a lot of two-back sets where they'd do a lot of motion and then pick it to the secondary back who was getting less coverage. They did a lot of really clever stuff.
Do you see clever stuff to make. Ryan Fitzpatrick dumping it off?
Yes. Absolutely. I see Ryan Fitzpatrick taking it, four steps back. If he's not got somebody to absolutely sling it down the field to, he's looking to either run himself or pop it off to somebody close to him, like Gesicki or Breda.
I just think he just steps back four steps, sees everyone running at him and goes, oh, there's Devontae Parker. I'm just going to launch the ball at him again.
You think he actually looks downfield? I just think he just takes four steps back and just goes, there you go, boys. Everyone's running 3 yard slants and he's just like, nah.
80 yard bomb.
Yeah, that's what we're going for, mate.
Rich, what about you, mate? Kind of, is there anyone?
Yeah, for me, there's a couple of guys I don't like. So Alvin Kamara is one, springs out straight away. As Tim said, that Tampa defense is actually
at the price as well, third most.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not going to pay that. For me as well, Nick Chubb. Going against the Ravens, that's not a good place to be. I'm not entirely sure on how Chubb is going to be this season as well. I think I've mentioned that before. And 6,500 is quite a lot to invest in a running back that you've got question marks over.
Yeah.
The other guy for me is Kenyon Drake, who's slightly cheaper, but again, I've been delving into it and I'm just really not sure on the outlook of Kenyon Drake. Everyone seems to be anointing him as some kind of amazing running back, but majority of his production came in two games. And I mean, even if you said an 8-game sample size, I'd say that's a small sample. But when you say actually all of his production came in two, I'm not about that. I'm not sold on him being this next guy.
I will say something about Kenyon Drake, because I was looking at him and I don't mind him because he's coming up against San Francisco. Yeah, one of the games you just mentioned of his great blow-up games was against San Francisco. And in the two games against him, he was 31 carries for 177 yards. And how many touchdowns? A few touchdowns, basically. So he did well against him. You could run against San Francisco last year. I don't, price wise, is he really there? Was he 6'4? you're looking, he's a little bit cheaper than Chubb. He's more expensive than Sanders. Then you've got Carson, Gurley, White. I think Drake could either break your team or make your team at that price.
Yeah, I mean, so he played San Francisco in week 9. So he had 110 yards, one touchdown, 4 receptions for 52 yards through the air.
Yeah.
The two games I was actually talking about were Cleveland and Seattle, which was week 15 and 16. We had 137 yards and 4 touchdowns week 15, 166 yards and 2 touchdowns week 15 against Seattle. So
he played against San Francisco in week 11 as well.
He did, and he did.
He only had that was only 14 points. Yeah.
So this is the thing. Like, I'm not entirely sure on how he's actually going to perform. That San Francisco defense as well. It doesn't.
Like, you can run on it.
You can run on it to a point, but like they shut him down the second time they played him. 67 yards from 16 carries.
But let's be honest though, sometimes it's not just the defense. Like this Arizona,
still 4.2.
This Arizona,
sorry,
could be, it's going to be shit or champagne. I think like week to week, you're looking at either everyone's getting a touch or it's going to be one or two people who get significant volume.
They play a lot of 4 wide receiver sets, don't they?
Everyone getting a blitz. Like the only person week to week I think is going to get really good points is Kyler Murray. That's a fact. There's just too many mouths to feed.
Dan Arnold.
I mean, Dan Arnold's a dynasty stash.
He's a sleeper, massive sleeper.
He's a stash, and
he's a stash.
And he's wide receiver or tight end at the minute, which is a little bit of a bonus, and
yeah,
be a little bit of a beauty for one on sleeper this year. But
yeah, because he could fill either of those slots and do nothing for you. So
he'll do about as much as Michael Pittman,
which is zero.
Beer what? Bet.
Oh, you can't beer bet a tight end for the Cardinals. No, I'm not getting involved in that shit.
You just said he's a wide receiver.
I didn't. This has been you and Timbo. You give me way out of this.
I'll tell you what. I'll have your beer bet that Dan Arnold gets more tight end points than Pittman.
For week one. Here you go. This is fair. This is a fair one for you boys. You take week one only. Yeah? You've got a rookie against a tight end who played well at the back end of last year. I think that's fairly even. I'm not calling a winner. Are you boys going to take it on?
No.
Are you?
Yeah. Honestly, out of all the mouths to feed in Arizona, Dan Arnold is going to be the person who goes off one of those weeks, right? And it ain't week one. Right? Let's be honest, it ain't
week one. No, you almost got it right when you said it ain't week. You should have ended it. Just yeah,
it ain't wrong that you would have
won. I mean, if he makes the roster, that'd be great.
he's their tight end one. Who, Pittman? Yeah, I know. It's going to be a bit push and go with Pittman making the roster, isn't it? All right, let's just a quick one, boys, as well. What do you boys think about the running back situation in New England? As I know we've talked about James White and how much you like James White, but what about my TV's just turned on and I've no idea why.
I think James White's the only one I'd play week one,
even if there was a starter announced, as in they came out and went Sony's fully healthy, he's starting, or Damien Harris is
I'd stick with my same stint. I don't know what they do there. Like, I think they could say Sony Michel's going to be the starter and then they'll mix in Damien Harris. They might mix in Miller. Like, the only one I'm actually sure has a role is White.
Yep.
That's the only one I want. So as a result, that's the only one I want, because I don't want to be going, oh, Bill Belichick said that Sony Michel's going to start, so I'll put him in my lineup. Oh, man, those 2 yards have done me a world of good.
0.2 points.
Because in week one, the defense goes, oh, Bill Belichick said that Sony Michel's getting all the touches. Oh, wait, why is the ball keep going to James White? Like, we've all been here with New England, and running backs hard to call, wide receivers hard to call. You get certain people who get lots of touches, certain people who are depended upon. And then you've now got a different enigma in Cam. And to me, if you look at Cam, Cam's always had safety valve in Olsen. He's always done really well with a running back who complements what he does in the running game. And he's always done really well with short dump off. So for me, I'm a big James White fan anyway. I just think he fits the bill. He's a decent price. And I'm not touching, in DFS, I'm not touching Harris. I'll take Harris on in Dynasty League because his value's pittance. And if he goes off, it's great. If Michelle goes off, I don't have any shells of Michelle.
Shells of Michelle. That sounds like a perfume. Shells from Michelle.
Shit. I'm not bothered if Michelle goes off, but
they've all. You'll never be able to pick the right one, will you?
Yeah, Lamar Miller, I mean, you know, at the Texans, he was 10 points a week. Like, everyone knew that. And then Carlos Hyde turned into that last year. So maybe he turns into the same for the Pats. But until you see that system evolve without Brady, you don't know. So the only one you can really depend on is James White, because you know he's going to be able to system.
And also, pass catching backs. If you want a cheaper option for James White, there are two that just stand out for me. There's Tariq Cohen at 4.9 and Boston Scott at 4.8. Both Cohen's playing Detroit, Boston Scott's playing Washington. Two that are cheaper options that could have a solid week one.
Boston Scott's not having a week, not at all.
Cohen's probably one I want out of two, because even if Montgomery's ready for week one, like, they're probably going to step him back a little bit.
Yeah.
So
4.9 is a reasonable price for Cohen.
Yeah, I don't think Boston Scott's going to do anything unless Sanders gets an injury.
Tim Sanders is injured at the moment,
but he's making week one, isn't he?
Is he?
Everyone's making week one.
Everyone's making week one.
I'm making week one.
All right, screw running backs. We've talked about them. Let's go wide receivers. Rich.
All right, so I'm going to avoid Michael Pittman because everyone knows he's cheap. Stick him in. I don't know. Something might happen. There's actually three guys that I quite like here. So DK Metcalf, 5,800. Yeah. I think he's going against Atlanta. So
18 touchdowns, 1,400 yards.
Yeah, dude's going to run. So yeah. So I quite like him. Anthony Miller, I think, is going to be a decent shout. $5,000. Chicago against the Detroit Lions. Obviously, we've seen the Lions' defense has struggled historically against the position. And Miller, for me, when I was kind of delving into it more, the more I kind of like Miller as a prospect for this season. And the last one for me is Greg Ward. He's $4,200. And at the moment, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's one of only two fit wide receivers in Washington, in for Philadelphia, and they're facing Washington week one. So
lovely. I like them, mate. I like DK. DK is one that I quite liked. I'll go next. I've got a couple I like. I started off by saying with my running backs, give me all of the Austin Eckler. And I'm going to continue this by give me all of the Jameson Crowder I can get. Just give me Jameson Crowder. I do not care that he's placed in Buffalo. Crowder is going to be the safety valve for Darnold all season for me. And people can go, but it's Buffalo. Their defense really, really good. It's going to struggle. Crowder's best two games last year against he had 14 receptions for 17 targets, 99 yards, and 24 DK points in week 1 and week 17, 8 of 10 for 66 and a touchdown and 20 points. I'm playing Jameson Crowder in so many of my lineups in week 1. I'm not going to say expect 14 of 17 for 99 yards, but I think you're going to be looking. He's going to get about 10 targets. Chucking a touchdown, you've got 20 points, and he's 5,200. So, yeah, I love that. On the other side of DK Metcalf, for me, Calvin Ridley, 6,100. So, I think a big year coming. Well, not big. I don't like when people say he's going to be a breakthrough this year for Ridley. He's already broken through. He's had two good seasons. I prefer him at the price to in building my team at 6,100 compared to Julio at 7,700. We know Julio, he's probably going to go off, but I also think Ridley can have a very good game. And Edelman at Miami, for me, he's 6,000. Again, similar to Crowder, I think he's going to be a safety thing, safety blanket for Cam Newton. So they're the three that I really like, and Metcalf, obviously. And Timbo, what about you, mate? Any of the ones for me or Rich you like, or have you got others you want?
I like Golladay.
Kenny G.
I'm big on Crowder this year. I know you say forget about Buffalo. We had this conversation before we started tonight, and to me, some people get wise to certain people. Nothing's changed in Buffalo, and they saw Crowder go off against them twice last year. And there ain't many options, right? So if I'm McDermott or I'm anyone in that Buffalo's defense, I look at it and I go, that's who they're aiming for. They've not got the big long hop unless it's Perryman this year. And to be fair, it's a different challenge to what they had last year. Herndon's just coming back. And I'd suffocate Darnold, and then I'd just cover Crowder, and just.
But you can't cover Crowder.
Of course you can.
He's so elusive. He's probably the greatest wide receiver I've ever. No, I can see where you're coming from. I understand what you're saying about.
I've already week one. I'll happily be wrong week one, right?
Yeah.
I think easier matchups. At a better price. So if I'm looking for that slot receiver who could get a shit ton of targets, it's Renfrew for me. So at 4,500 against Carolina, that defense is trash. I've already said Josh Jacobs is going to run all over them. But if they bottle up that running game and have a look at the passing game, you've got easy dump offs to Renfrew, and then you've got other wide receivers who are going to command a little bit of respect in there as well. So I really like Renfrew. I think he's a decent option there.
I understand that, but Renfrow's not the starting slot receiver for the Raiders. It's Henry Ruggs.
It is in theory, but...
So he's going to be splitting time, potentially.
Potentially, but week one, what am I going against? I'm going against the potential that a rookie gets the targets, or I'm going to against potentially a really good defense. Wise is up to having one option or two options on the offense. So I'm wise
enough. I'm
what the Renfrow outscores Crowder.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's Crowder's price?
5,200. So it's not expensive.
Yeah, I love that.
Cool. Put it on the board.
I'll do that
on the side. Cool. Who else?
Like, Philly does have a secondary, right?
Who?
Philadelphia.
Not really.
Yeah, doesn't have one. So, you've got McLaurin at Washington, who's going to command wide receiver one attention. Sims at 4,700.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely dirt cheap. So, you know, go. He's an absolute start for me. He enables you to go for somebody who's going to be in a shootout, like you said before, like Julio, someone like that. So it enables you to go for wide, like true wide receiver one figures, and somebody like Sims as your wide receiver two. So yeah, Golladay, I'm not sure that Chicago defense is going to be able to recoup the figures that it did 2 years ago. So I like Golladay. We like Golladay generally. They're my three. I don't know if there's any objections.
None from me.
Nah, I'm good.
Are there any ones that we look at and go, I don't like them. I really don't like them week one.
I typically don't like paying up for wide receiver, in all honesty, especially week one.
Michael Thomas. Ooh.
Michael Thomas is like, he's probably, if I am going to pay up, then I am going to pay up and get him. But generally, I don't like paying up a wide receiver because I typically like to spend higher at running back and then go for slot guys who are going to get a bunch of targets.
Yeah.
And basically cheat the system with it being PPR. So there's a bunch of guys I don't really like at the top here. So
I don't like Thielen week one in Green Bay. Well, it's at Minnesota, but I don't like him against Green Bay week one. That Green Bay defense was good last year.
I'm not a fan of any Cincinnati Bengal wide receiver in week one.
That's good because he's a Minnesota Viking.
I know. I was just having a look.
He was just skipping over your point completely, sorry. Tim. That's sorry, what it was, mate.
Who's he?
I'm Tim.
Nice to meet you, Tim.
Nice to meet you, mate.
I'm Gerald.
Peter. do you like Julio meet one against Seattle?
Do I like him? Yeah.
For his value.
Second highest. I prefer his value than I prefer Julio to Michael Thomas at the values.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm
and Adams,
I prefer Adams to Julio.
Agree with that.
Week one. I mean, Minnesota don't really have a cornerback at the moment, do they?
No.
I don't think so.
I can't think because they used to have Waynes, right? But yeah. Plus Devontae Adams is going to see like I don't know 58,000 targets, like. He's the only receiver on the team, so.
So you boys like Adams over Julio week one. That's fair. Well, I think it's a 50-50 shot on that.
Hopkins week one.
No.
I want Hopkins, full stop.
You want him?
No, I don't want it.
No, neither do I.
Like, when I was doing my project, like, this is like redraft sidetrack. When I first did my projections for Hopkins, I messaged Ben, Rolf, friend of the show, and said, I think I might have broken something because I had him actually outside of wide receiver one range.
I can see it.
And when at that point, so I went to do my rankings on Fantasy Pros, and they basically give you a warning if you're like completely out on the rest of the people.
Mm.
You can still do it, but it basically gives you like a huge warning. Mm-hmm. And they were like, the consensus for Hopkins at the moment is wide receiver 3 or 4. You've this was right to start the season, like right to start the process, right? And I had him at like wide receiver 14 or something. And he says, are you sure you want to proceed? Like, I'm just out on it. I don't think there's going to be that many targets for Hopkins this season. I think there's too many mouths to feed, and everyone keeps talking about how there's going to be so many more attempts, but I don't see it.
Hopkins, for me, when the trade went down, I immediately came out and said, he's not a top 7 wide receiver for me. His value, he drops significantly.
For me, I got
pelters, absolute pelters. I think we've even got a beer bet with Jason on this, Tim. You probably got the spreadsheet. But, I don't trust him, especially as you said, they're going to spread the ball.
That's the thing, like, everyone kind of forgets that in Houston, he was, like, let me just go to my target share. In Houston, he had over, last three seasons, he had 35%, 33%, and 32% of the targets.
Yeah. Like,
that's filth. He's not getting that.
What did he get when Will Fuller was healthy?
Well, probably that, because Will Fuller's never healthy. So
I don't know, but what we're talking about is there's always an alpha, right? We always talk about this. It doesn't matter if certain teams want to spread it as much, that always ends up being an alpha. There's always that guy who commands targets. There's always that guy who is the dependable guy for the QB. The QB has always got somebody who if in doubt, he targets.
His name is Larry Fitzgerald.
But it won't be.
That's... Okay. All right. So I'm just having a look now. So in
Fitzgerald's going to see 100 targets, 90 to 100 again.
In week one,
Gerald went down to 70. You wouldn't be shocked to see those additional 30 targets all go to Nuke.
I would be.
I wouldn't.
I would.
Because he's that good to be able to catch a high percentage of them contested.
So, Tim, going to your point. So, week one, Hopkins and Fuller both played. Hopkins had 46% of the targets.
Nice.
Week two, he had 29% of the targets. Fuller played in that game. Week three, he had 21% of the targets. Like, I'm not saying it can't happen. Mm. I just think that quite a lot of the reason why Hopkins was effective in Houston was because he was given a filthy amount of targets.
Yeah.
And I don't see that he's going to have that many. I'm basically saying he's going to be as good as he was in Houston, but I'm dialing back the targets, and that's where he ends up falling out as a result.
Well, he had 172 targets last year. I think he loses. I think if he gets one, he'll get around 140, I reckon, in Arizona.
That's why I have 138.
Yeah. So if 138 at his average of last year, which was 11.5, so you're looking at like. He had 119 receptions, so cut that down to maybe probably he'll probably see 100 receptions or something. I don't know. I'm just cautious. I want to see it. I want to see what their offense is, if they are going to build around him.
I'm avoiding him week one just because I don't like that matchup for him.
Mm.
And I do think that's a really interesting game. But I think across the season, especially after that game, his games are really good. And you don't bring in somebody like that and spend that money unless you want him to be the alpha. And he's going to be the alpha. And I mean, who's wide receiver two in Arizona?
It's probably two of them.
Between which two?
It'll be Kirk and Larry. Larry's still going to see targets. Kirk's going to see 100 again, probably. And then you've got the two second year receivers, Hakeem Butler and Andy Isabella, who I suspect they probably are hoping for a little bit more from than obviously last year, and they might get integrated a little bit more. Hopkins is going to see more targets than anyone. I'm not denying that. I just don't think he's going to get anywhere near the targets he saw in Houston.
Yeah. Do you honestly think that whole scheme, that whole system, that whole management team will think, oh, we'd rather target those players than you? Because I don't. Because I think what they'll do is that even if Nuke's in double coverage, they'll still go, he's able to go up there high point at winning. He's going to get a ton of red zone opportunities because there's nobody else who can go up there and get it in that team. There's no... as much as what you want to say about Dan Arnold, he's not going to be the guy. Nuke will be, he'll be exactly what Nuke was to Deshaun, to Kyler for me. And I think it's absolutely perfect. I'm really high on him this year. And it wouldn't shock me if you saw the same or more target. It wouldn't shock me if you saw less, but I think there's a big opportunity for him to just absolutely go off in that system. Because there's more people to draw people away. Whereas he was really good at the Texans with terrible QBs. Right? He was really good. So now you're talking about a good QB, a good system. I think he's going to be open more.
This is going to be very controversial. But is Kyler a good QB? Yes. We all thought, would you say Baker Mayfield's a good QB now? Yes. After his first year, everyone was raving about him. Second year was a bit of a down one, and everyone's a bit kind of, don't know, yeah, we need to wait and see. I'm not saying Kyler isn't a good QB. I'm just saying we've seen second year slumps before.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if maybe he's not as good as he was, but it wouldn't also surprise me if he doesn't go absolutely batshit mental and go as brilliant. It's just something to bear in mind, isn't it?
What I saw that was interesting out of Kyler was a maturity that he grew on the pitch, on the field, throughout the year. You know, he didn't stop making stupid throws. He wasn't very arrogant in the media. He just seemed to focus on playing. Management seemed to like that from him. I think there's a certain maturity to his game that's growing that people like Baker have never had. You know, you look at the people who've had a second year slump back, you know, no O-line that year, no Zeke, and no Dez. Like, unless that happens to Kyler, he's got all the opportunity to go out there and do it, and he's got the scheme. I think there's going to be a lot of scheming people open to make Kyler good, but also knowing that if there is coverage on someone like Hopkins, just chuck it up, high pointing, get him to get it at the point of the catch where he can go and get it where no one else can. Deshaun did that and other QBs have done it. I think you've got that opportunity, and that's why you brought in a wide receiver like that to be that, fuck it, that everyone's covered. I'll throw it to the best one who can deal with the coverage.
Is there any thought that maybe Cliff Kingsbury traded for Deshaun for Nuke Hopkins, A, because he's a fantastic wide receiver, and B, because he knew he could offload David Johnson to them?
That was exactly what it was for me. I mean, when I saw the trade, my first immediate thought was, one, Kyler Murray probably gets a boost.
Yep.
And two, David Johnson gets a boost personally. But for me, it just seemed like they didn't want...
They found someone.
They didn't. Yeah. They basically... I mean, it wasn't exactly not known that he didn't work in their offense last season for whatever reason. It wasn't any secret at all. And to ship him on and get one of the best receivers in the game,
yeah,
like Bill O'Brien, how do you still have a job?
Well, he can't. He's not going to fire himself, is he?
No, but he should.
The thing with Bill O'Brien is he is an awful, awful GM. But he's a pretty good coach. Is he not?
He, to me, is just like the antithesis of what you shouldn't be, in all honesty. Like, he's not going to win you a Super Bowl. He's just going to get you into the playoffs and then hope that he catches lightning in a bottle. Like, for me, I don't want that type of guy. I'm like a Ricky Bobby. Like, if you're not first, you're last. That's kind of where I feel about it. Like, yeah, I think I've just massively sidetracked us.
It's fine. This is what we do.
We're literally just talking about DFS guys we don't like, and then I've literally just sat back here and just let you two rip into each other. I'm like, oh, okay. I cause that.
It's what we do, mate. It's what we do. It's that's all very.
Then.
Yeah, there's people. I was going to say one tight end here that I suspect all of us are going to want to have a fair bit of this week one. Okay. The name is Hayden Hurst against Seattle, who are hideous against tight ends, and he's 4,300.
Yeah, I mean.
Wow.
To me, that's like, I'll be honest with you. So I quite like doing some funky things, especially in like some of the large tournaments.
The whale.
I could talk myself into going like some kind of really weird double tight end.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Move here and having like Hayden Hurst in my flex spot, because I think he's probably going to have the same number of targets as I'd want in a receiver. Yeah. So for me, he feels like a cheat this week.
Yeah.
The whale has spoken.
The whale has spoken. Mr. Whaley, who do you like tight end apart from Hayden Hurst? You are now going to be called Whaley.
Cheers, mate.
blowhole.
That's weird. I think, I mean, for me, the first guy that jumped out to me was Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
As I said before, I mean, you could say Zach Ertz or Dallas Goedert, but Goddard, I think, suffered a hand injury.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes me not as in on him. But basically, someone's got to catch the ball. And it's not, if, you know, I said I like Greg Ward because he's one of the few fit receivers that they've got. And yeah. Ertz is another one. So that's the guy I want, I think.
I had it.
What are you?
Whaley's right. You know, we are. Ertz is the wide receiver one in Philly. So
yeah, if Goddard's not available. Yeah, if Goddard's not available, then he is.
You know, Kittle is obviously going to get a shitload of targets. Arizona is terrible with the tight end, but his value is too high.
I think that they'll go with I think they might shadow with Peterson. Not that that's going to make any difference.
Kittle will go off week one against Arizona. He will, but he's 7,200. So he's more than Kenny Golladay, right?
What did he do? I'll see what he did last year against. Yeah, he went six of eight for 79, 19 points, and I think he missed the game, the other game against Arizona. So did all right.
So I had Ertz, I had Kittle, just because I do think you know, they're both top four tight ends, and they're going to go off. My week one really low buy is Jimmy Graham because he's a week one hit like every year. Like last year, touchdown. He's touchdown or bust, but for 3,800 and apparently he's going off in training camp. He's the only one going off in training camp.
Probably. Yeah, going off on a cart probably.
Probably, but he is that early season bust because he's got nothing else in him.
Yeah, you're right. He is a bust.
But
oh my God, this is shots fired. Jesus.
I mean, you know, you're not coming out with anything more inventive. Oh, Zach Ertz. Oh, I think the top tight.
I mean, mate, if you want me to scroll down and look at some tight end options, like we can put a beer bet on someone. I'm sure I can find one, maybe even cheaper than.
I've got two.
Pick one.
Tyler Eifert or Chris Herndon. I'll even chuck Will Dissly if he's healthy.
I have all three, put them together. Like, I don't really care.
That's a contract that's binding.
Right, okay. Ian Thomas, I'd prefer him. Chris Herndon, I'd prefer him. Irv Smith, I'd prefer him. All of those guys are actually cheaper than Jimmy Graham.
Mo Ali Cox, I'd prefer him. Noah Toy Guy, I'd prefer. Tyler Conklin.
Yeah, it seems to take a touchdown week one.
If you want a real roll of the dice touchdown or bust, for me, Jordan Reed.
That's interesting.
That, you know, you're going up against Arizona, who we know are shocking at defending the tight end. They brought Jordan Reed in for a reason.
You might get one game out of him.
Until he dies, probably. he's always injured, but like those games where he's not, like for me, I think they've brought him in and I think they're going to use him literally in the red zone. So for me, John Reed is going to be, I'd much prefer him to Jimmy Graham. If you want a beer bet on that, I'll take it.
I want to take a beer bet against Jordan Reed with someone else. I want to take you up with, where is he? Trey Burton.
Yeah,
against Jacksonville, I think he's going to be used fairly similarly to how they used to use Ebron. I think he'll be a red zone guy for them.
Yeah, that's fine because Pittman's going to score 3 touchdowns anyway. Tim, do you want it?
You can even chuck Jimmy Graham in on that, Tim. So you can take Jimmy Graham. I will take Trey Burton and Rich will take Jordan Reed.
Yep.
Shockingly, you are the favourite.
Not in my head, he's not. Send it.
Done. Send.
I'll say one thing. This little discussion we've just had about cheap tight ends, it shows that you don't, if you want a tight end that you build your team and you think, do you know what, I need a tight end who maybe gets me 18 yards or 25 yards and a touchdown. I just want 10 points or 8-9 points for my tight ends. All I need, I'm building the best team, blah, 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 blah. You could fit a flipping Jack Doyle at 3-6, an Arnold at 3-5, Ian Thomas at 3-4. There's plenty of them.
Irv Smith at 3-1. Dirt cheap.
Yeah.
I literally mentioned him instead of Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, but I was ignoring that.
Yeah, because I didn't say, oh, Jimmy Graham's a great pick.
Sorry.
Oh my, boys, ladies, in fact, put your handbags away. Jesus Christ.
So we both like Irv Smith. What of it?
Oh, I'm flipping Irv Smith fanboys over there. Jesus Christ. all right, tight ends. Let's just screw with them. We're going to keep this nice, quick, and simple. I don't want you to tell me why. I just want you to tell me who. Give me one defense. Week one. Tim. One word.
Patriots. Because.
No. End. Rich.
Whoever I can fit in my lineup after I've done the rest of it.
And I'm going for the Chargers at 2-8.
Good sentence.
Who are cheaper. I can say what I want here. I'm running the show on this DFS thing. The Chargers are cheaper than the flipping Bengals. That's all I'm going to say. So you've got Pats, anyone that Rich wants, and the Chargers. There we go.
Cool.
I think that went really well. I think we didn't fall out or anything.
We could.
Oh, we could, and we will next week on the DFS pod. So, yeah, that should be good fun.
With the 59th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Roberto Aguayo, kicker, Florida State.
Right, gents, the time has come for the world-famous Robert Aguayo corner, where it'll either be a hit or a wide right miss. Whaley, what have you got, mate? Hit or miss?
I think I've got a miss. I think I've shared too much with you boys.
Yes, for the ball.
Here I am, just trying to be, you know, bring myself into the group, you know, tell you a little bit about my life and, you know, just take the piss the whole time.
Mate, if you open the door, you're going to get it slammed back in your face.
Well, this is the thing, right?
More interesting. Are you boring me now?
Yeah, I mean, you're a scouser, so you've probably got a short attention span anyway.
Keep me interested. Give me something, mate.
I mean, I'll be honest. I'm going to say it's a hit, right? So I've quite enjoyed being part of this pod. Like, in all honesty, I quite like the banter, and I'm even starting to get used to Jamie now. So,
happy.
Yeah. So, you know, before the start of the season, like, it feels to me like things are kind of pointing in the right direction for me in terms of a lot of things. So, like, my site is like seeing ridiculous growth since like lockdown.
Awesome.
I'm seeing more and more people come back. Draft boards, like, I pretty much sold out. I had to do a reorder. So yeah, things are just going pretty good for me in the lead up to the season. So I'm pumped for it.
Good things happen to good people, and you too.
Yeah, exactly. Admin error, right? Somewhere else, there's a Richard King who's gutted.
As much shit as we give you on this pod, like, me and you had a chat as we were waiting for everything to start off with the pod, and you know, when I started getting into this a year and a bit ago, I didn't know anyone in the scene, and there's been a bit of a thank you out to a few people, well, mainly Jamie, Jason and Jack for everything they've done for me over the past year and a bit. And people like yourself, Rich, like you're seen out there as knowledgeable, you know your shit, and you're also good people as well. You're not going to do anything to screw anyone over. I think there's a lot of that in the NFL UK community. And, you know, the stuff that you're putting out there, all of it, not some of it, is top quality, mate. Those draft boards, I've got one, it's brilliant. And, you know, good things come to good people. So as much shit as we give you for being a wailing Rui Paul drag race piss drinking rugby playing NFL fantasy loving dickhead, like, for all of that, you're a top guy, and you know your stuff as well. So mate, it's great to have you as part of this pod. As much as the beginning of what you said sounded like a resignation, it's really good to have you as part of this, and it's good to see that things are going well for you.
He's all right.
I mean, that's positively glowing from Jamie, isn't it?
I mean, wait till hear what he says about Virgin or John Lewis in a minute.
Yeah, stir him up. I mean, for me, my internet's been absolutely perfect through all of this week. So, with that, Jamie, what have you got?
I've got nothing internet related because my internet's perfect right now, which I didn't think it would be. But yeah, fuck Virgin Media. Moving swiftly on, I've got a couple of hits. I've got a new phone. I've got a Pixel 4. I need a new one. Seems pretty good. It's a bit annoying that it has like this facial recognition stuff where you just pick it up and it just unlocks.
It's more annoying for the phone than it is for you, mate. Because it's
damn right. I can only imagine looking at this bloody mug. Other hit is to you, Timbo, for the lovely Falcon signed mini helmet I got in the post today. It was delivered yesterday, but went back to the part to the Royal Mail thing because no one was at home and it wouldn't fit through the letterbox. And Rach went and picked it up today, and I got a message saying, I think it's either from Tim or Jack. Like, what do you mean that? She sent me a photo at the front. Jamie, Mr. Happy, bye.
It's not appropriate to write bollocks on a parcel.
But no, thank you very much for that, Tim. It's very, as I said to you earlier, totally unexpected. You didn't really need to. I'm an arsehole, so what more can you say? And season-long DFS, I'm going to plug that again, at season-long DFS on Twitter, www.seasonlongdfs.com website. Fill out the form, get involved, big prizes, one-of-a-kind competition. You can't play anywhere else, and it's a great little community we're going to build. I think that's about it, I think. Yeah. Yeah, Timbo, what have you got, mate? Hit or miss?
People should get involved in your DFS league, mate. It was great last year. Didn't need to do it. You know, we've said it enough. We're going to keep saying it for the next week and a half. Get involved. Mine's a miss because it started fucking lashing it down this week. And that's normally a period of excitement for me because it means I'm not getting sunburned. So...
I've got some lotion on right now underneath the lights.
That's the brightness on his computer screen's turned right down, if you notice.
Is someone hoovering?
It's
I thought I could hear the Dyson, Rich.
It's still here, mate.
Now, we know what he uses the Dyson for now as well, so that explains it with my face on there. What it means is when it rains is that I suddenly realise that every cunt doesn't know how to drive, right?
Yep.
And it pisses me off. And I thought, I'm not doing too much driving at the moment with COVID. but then, you know, you have to nip out, and then everyone just freezes, and they suddenly panic because there's a bit of rain on the windscreen. You don't know where their windscreen wipers are and everything like that. So it's been a massive miss for me. At any point going out of my car, I fucking hate it because people don't know how to drive in the rain anymore.
So you telling me there's people that don't have the automatic wipers?
We're up north, so yeah. Huh. It's where you have to put 50p in the car to get that bit to work.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Have you got anything else, Timbo?
Because
I've just seen something that it shows me how much of an adult I'm turning into.
On what?
Debatable.
Well, this is like an old person thing, I think. I really do. Something's come up on my timeline. This Tupperware hack is a real game changer, and it's how to get greasy stains off of Tupperware.
Is it very liquid?
It's something. It's hot water, some liquid, some soap thing, and then they put in a paper towel or something and shake it to get rid of all like the greasy, stainy, orange stuff in it. Brilliant. I'm going to be trying that. It's amazing. Just, I feel old.
Honestly, TikTok is my best friend at the minute. Like, there's so much stuff. And it, in fact, this is a bit of a hit. If anyone's got TikTok, follow somebody who basically...
Well, that's usually the idea, isn't it, to follow somebody.
Let's not follow Jamie. It's a guy called Lorik. So LOICSUBERVILL. And he talks about languages and stuff like that. And it's fucking really funny. I can't do it justice. Go and watch that, because it talks about like French nuances of languages. And it's fucking well funny against British, American, German and stuff like that. I can't do it justice. Go and have a little look on TikTok. He's brilliant. So I'll give him a shout out. He's not affiliated to this pod or sponsoring us in any way. But that's my hit.
Yet.
After Nancy drivers.
And hashtag not a sponsor.
Hashtag not a sponsor. I think that's. I think we've had a good debate tonight, lads.
Yeah, it's been really productive. I've written two articles in this time as well. Mainly when you and Tim were going in on Hopkins. So I appreciate that.
To be fair, mate, they're not going to be good ones, are they? So,
no. They might end up in something that you don't know about.
we no longer publish articles for something we don't know about.
Exactly. I'm going to say this, and we never do this. If you've listened to this podcast and you've laughed as much as we have laughed in this, just leave a fucking review. All leave right. It as one star and say these guys are idiots, but they're funny. It doesn't matter. Just leave us a review. We've had so much fun, so much laughs about this.
I mean, please don't leave a one star review, because that'll actually hurt me. Yeah, at least three. That's...
If you don't fancy leaving a review, just write us a message and tell us what was funny, because that's one of the best things about doing this pod is interaction with people who actually listen. And
does that mean that if we don't hear anything, that we should just assume people didn't find it funny?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And immediately not change anything because we had fun.
I can't wait for the amount of people to ask you why you're called Whaley.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't wait to see your comment back to them.
Yes, Whaley.
I think it'd work better as a video, but...
Whaley McWhaleface.
There's an offer. And on that bombshell, we'll see you next week, guys.
Peace out.